Normally we would be going verse by verse through the book of Mark, and being Father's Day, I thought I would just share something from my heart. And so I'd like to do that, and it's going to be in the context of the subject of correction and the correction of our children. I am seeing an increasing number of Christian parents having no idea what disciplining the children or even grandparents teaching their children how that they can bring correction for the children. And I say correction is in the context of a wide frame of reference depending upon the offense. I'd like to just share a couple of things as we begin. First of all, before we even look at that subject, the area of being an example is very, very important. One of the greatest impact that we'll ever have on the life of our children is our own example. I want to say, dads, it's imperative that your children, that our children, see us kneeling in prayer when there are special burdens that affect the family. It's imperative for us that our children see us reach out and take the hand of our wife and look into the eyes of the kids and say, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I want you to know your dad will never leave nor forsake your mom. That'll give a great sense of security, binding the hearts of the family together. Leading by example, setting an example is very, very important. For our kids to hear dad say, I'm sorry. And you know, there's a big difference between saying I'm sorry and then asking your children to forgive you when your example has not been appropriate. And so leading by example is a very, very powerful principle as we move to where God wants our family to be. There's a very interesting text in the Old Testament. And that text is found in Genesis chapter 18. And God is speaking in verse 19. He says, I know Abraham. I know Abraham. And I know that he's going to lead. He's going to command his family. Then he says these words after himself. In other words, God says, I know Abraham. I know him. He knows me. I know he's going to lead. He's going to command his family after himself. He's going to lead by example. And then you have these wonderful words there in 18:19 again. It closes with these words. And it says, and these kids and these, the rest of his family, will follow in the ways of the Lord. I know it's your desire, Dad, and your desire as a grandfather, that your children and your grandchildren follow the ways of the Lord. And the first principle for that to take place is very simple. And that is that they follow us as we follow Christ. And so when it comes to seeing our children honor the Lord, example is very, very, very important. Instruction is also very important. When you move into the New Testament, it's very clear. The Apostle Paul said that we are to admonish our children. The book of Ephesians says, admonish them, exhort them, teach them, train them. And so instructing what is right and wrong, that's in simplicity. Just saying to our children, honey, see what that man is doing. That is not right. That is wrong. Say right and wrong. The instruction of what is right and what is wrong. Teach. This is bad and this is good. And I want to say one of the most frustrating things in fundamentalism has been that as parents we have not said what is explained the difference between what is biblical principles and what is preferences. For instance, you can say simply, the Bible says, then that is a principle. And principles are non-negotiable. You understand that, beloved? Principles in the Word of God are non-what? Negotiable. Those just are very clear cut. And so we say that. Number two, there are some preferences, though, as parents, that are perfectly right. But make sure that you explain the difference between a biblical preference that's not negotiable and, a biblical principle that's not negotiable and parental preferences. Beloved, are you following me? When our children were small, we did not allow them to have radios. We did not. Not until they had a car. And the reason is we wanted to make sure that they were listening to music that honored and glorified the Lord. But we did not say that a radio was wrong. We said, Mom and Dad have made this decision. This is a parental preference in our house. We're not going to have radios. Do you understand the difference? Do not mix the difference, do not mix together preferences and principles without making sure that there is modesty. Listen carefully. Modesty is biblical. And that is non-negotiable. But when it comes then, Dad say, no, I really don't want you to wear that dress. Or, maybe at a certain event, I want you to wear a dress rather than wearing dress slacks. And you say that to your girl. Now, both may be modest, but you can have personal parental preferences. Make sure you clear the difference. Do you understand? And so it's very important. Instruction simply between... I'll give you a simple illustration in teaching our children. When it came to the meal, we said, you have to eat everything on your plate. Now, don't be so critical. Yeah. We'd say, you have to eat everything on your plate. But we said, now you can put on your plate what you... everything from the table. But you could, we had Luana who hated tomatoes. So all we said was, honey, you have to take a little bit and you have to eat everything in your plate. So boy, did she take a little bit. I'd have to get the microscope out to look to make sure she got her. But it was just one of our things we wanted to teach them to not to waste. So we taught them to clean up their plate. After they were done, we taught them to say thank you. We wanted them to understand the principle. Mom cooked the food, and so Mom needed to hear thank you for cooking the food. So one, clean up your plate. Two, so you're not going to waste. Two, be thankful. So tell Mom thank you. Number three, to ask permission or say, may I be excused? Just very simple. Then they came to me and said, Daddy, may I be excused? My obvious question was, did you clean up your plate? Of course, I could see that she did, but we wanted to teach them the respect for authority. And so, yes, honey, you cleaned up your plate. Yes, you can be excused. And then the fourth thing, I required a kiss on the cheek. I just wanted that, so I got it. But anyway, teaching the children, they need to be taught principles. They need to be taught preferences and just make sure that the instruction. But now what happens when they don't carry out these things? Then there needs to be a warning that's very clearly stated. The principle in God's word is simple. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what you're doing is you need to assume responsibility for your actions. It's very, very simple. I want to say, we can say a lot about warning, but I want to get to the heart of what's on my heart today. But I'll just say this. Beloved, when you tell your children, don't touch, tell them once. If you say, don't touch, you're teaching them that they don't have to obey until the second time. Are you with me? You teach them, don't touch means don't touch the first time you say it. Are you with me? You're teaching them to obey the second time, or you say, don't touch, then you have to raise your voice. Now you're teaching them it's okay to do something until the authority raises their voice. Or you say, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. You raise your voice, and then you put a warning on it. If you do it again, I'm going to send you to your room. You know, now you're teaching them it's okay to do something, even though they know it's wrong, until the warning of consequences are going to come. And so just very simple. If you're going to teach them not to go in that room, then just do it once, never raise the voice, and not even any complications. They need to obey the first time they hear it. You understand that, beloved? Because you're going to teach them, either to teach them to obey the first time, or you're going to teach them to obey after. You're teaching them one way or the other. So it's a better... So they get out there and they learn that they can be warned or spoken to two or three times. So the police officer pulls them over and he says, "Let me see your license." So, okay, he's going to say two or three times that. You see what you're doing when you teach them to not obey the first time? You can't do that. And so the warning is there's going to be results for your action. You need to take the responsibility for your actions. I want to say, when we think about discipline, it can mean many areas. I mean, it can mean, okay, I want you to go to your room. Or it may mean, I want you to sit there in that chair now. Just sit there, quietly. It may mean, all right, I said... we were going to have ice cream afterwards tonight, and everyone can have ice cream, but you can't because of the way you acted at the table. You have to be careful. But there's many different corrections that can be made. My heart this morning is very, very full because more and more young couples today do not understand that there is still the use of biblical correction with, listen carefully, a rod, that the Bible uses the word rod. Biblical correction. And I'm not talking about a 2x4. There are times, but anyway. I'm not even talking about a paddle. I'm talking about biblically a rod, which is approximately the size of a finger. And what comes to my mind is a wooden spoon. You know, that just comes to my mind because that happened to be something along the lines that I can remember when I was a boy. I won't talk about that either. But anyway, the Bible uses the word rod. So we're not talking about child abuse. We're simply using correction biblically as a rod. Now, I've got to share with you that today there's more and more young people saying, "I would never, never use a rod of correction. Use a switch or something to sting on the seat of understanding or whatever." And I'm going to go through the Word of God with you and just remind you of a couple of things just from my heart to you as your pastor. Number one, it's very important that there be parental agreement when it comes to correction. So number one, in your bulletin, there is a place to write down notes. I think you're going to need 14 or 15 spots. But number one, there should be parental agreement concerning correction. You say, "Pastor Larry, my husband and I," or you say, "Pastor Larry, my wife and I don't agree." I want to remind you, Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they agree?" How can a husband and wife get through a marriage unless there's this agreement? So then you say, "Well, then how do we agree on these things?" Communication. You talk about it. Number one, come to the area where you do agree and implement that principle. Number two, look at those that you disagree and decide what really you can, even though you don't agree, set aside and agree on those. Number three, compromise. Marriage is made up of compromising together, a husband and wife. You say, "Look, I'll give in on this one if you'll give in on that one." Number four, then you pray for your partner in the area of your disagreement and you continue to talk about it. And so, parental agreement. Proverbs 29:15 says, "A child left to himself is going to bring his mother shame." And so there must be correction. And then the text says, Proverbs 29:15, the rod of correction gives wisdom to the kid. And so it's very important. And Dad, this is Father's Day. We are the head of our home. We are the responsible person that comes into play in the area of correcting, the correction of our children. And I'll tell you this, you need to be close with your wife concerning this or your mate, because a child can sense immediately when mom and dad are in opposing positions. And beloved, believe it or not, they know how to play one side against the other. You believe it. I know you do. Number two, parental agreements. Very important. But number two, the second thing is it should be biblical correction. I have not one bit of grace and mercy in my heart for child abuse. Did you hear me? Despise it and hate it. It's ugly. It's nasty. It's criminal. And I'm not talking about anything, but there are some biblical correction that are necessary. Listen, Webster said punishment is to cause pain and suffering for wrongdoing. And beloved, we are never to punish our children. I want to repeat it. We are never to punish our children. Never. What we do is we bring correction. We are not causing pain and suffering for wrong. We want to take the wrong and change it to right. That's called correction. Beloved, do you understand that? There's a huge, huge difference. And so we want to bring repentance. We want to bring a change. And you must correct in the context that your desire is just to see them to do right. Proverbs 29:17. Correct your child, and you'll have rest and delight in your soul. Proverbs 23:13. One commentator said, don't fail to discipline your children. Proverbs 23:13. And they won't die if you biblically correct them. You need to understand biblical corrections. And so the problem is, if they never respect and respond to the authority in their life as a child, as they get older, they will not respond and respect the authority in their life when they get their driver's license and a policeman pulls them over. Beloved, do you understand that? So our desire, you know, is to train them for the rest of their life so they'll have respect. I'll say reverence in the right kind of a context, but respond correctly to the authority in their life the rest of their life. Why are so many teenagers so messed up today? Rebellious against their parents. And their parents say something, they just scoff it up. Because you failed as a child to begin to cause that child to have respect for the authority that would be the parents in their life. So biblical correction. Number three. Remember their personality is very important. We had one child. I am not sure that she was ever corrected with the spoon. We had another child that you could correct her. I'm talking about corporal correction. And she would look at you and say, that didn't hurt. Oh, yeah. I mean, so you must look at the child. And the other one, we would just simply say, now, honey, and if you even lifted the spoon, Daddy, I'm sorry. You know, and I'm not sure we ever had to correct her. Remember, your children are all different. You understand that, beloved? It's very important. I don't want to destroy something that you've had in your heart for a long time. But there is a passage of Scripture I just want you to think about. And that is in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from that. You know, the word train is very important there. That means dedicate or educate that child. The Hebrew is very, very clear. But the second part that we struggle with sometimes is train up a child in the way that he should go. Yes, we look at it as a principle with a promise. He'll not depart from it. But the Hebrew emphasizes that not all children are going, they're individual, the way that he should go. And so there are some children that then in school they're going to learn faster than others of your kids. And so take that into account, their individuality, their inclinations, their obviously their physical, their mental development. Some children are very sensitive. I have a grandson that when he is around, if I don't pay attention to a word that he says, I can see the grief on his heart. Are you listening? I can just see the fact that Grandpa didn't listen. I have to look at him and listen to every word that he says. He is so sensitive. I have a grandson that's just the opposite. Just the opposite. And so take into account their personality. Someone said, okay, Pastor, I agree that they're all different. Well, then you need to agree that different correction is necessary for them. Proverbs 22:6. Number four, don't forget, always correct in love. And I want to say, always correct in love. And if you cannot correct in love, don't correct. Did you understand the last words I just said? If you cannot correct in love. Did you see it in the clip this morning, how the child spilt the milk? And at first, it looked like Dad was just about ready to bite his head off. Did you notice that? Immediately got over it, and he spilled his milk. And identified with, hey, you know what? If you cannot correct in love, don't correct. Always correct in love. Never in anger. And I want to remind you, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 says that our Lord loves us, and so he does correct us. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. You know, and it's very, very clear. Verse 7 simply says, verse 7, I'll put it in Klausies. Verse 7 of Hebrews says, who in the world has ever heard of a father that said that he loved his child and doesn't correct him? Hebrews 12, verse 7. So Proverbs 13, those who love their children will care enough to biblically correct them. So be careful. And listen carefully, beloved. Only use the least amount of correction necessary to bring the change. Only use the littlest amount of correction necessary to bring change. Very important. And the difficulty is on Mother's Day, when the kid spills the milk on Mom's new Mother's Day dress. The difficulty is at breakfast on Father's Day, when the kid spills the milk on Dad's new tie. I mean, that's when you walk away and you go and you pray. Say, honey, you wait right here. You go in, say, Heavenly Father, thank you for my kids. And I pray now that you work in my heart. Then you go out to your child and say, I want you to know Daddy was upset when that happened. I want you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? Yes. Okay. Now let's talk about what happened. But make sure you always correct in love. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. Number five, the fifth principle is very important. Is make sure that you only correct for rebellion and attitude, not childish things. Sometimes kids do things because they're just not mature. It wasn't that they were disobedient or rebellious, but it's just that they're awkward. And there's a difference between so. Make sure you understand the difference between rebellion and childish acts. Proverbs 22 says, a child's heart is just filled with the English word is foolishness, and the context is with rebelliousness and nastiness. You say, Pastor Larry, do you believe a child really has that kind of stuff in his heart? Yeah. David said, not that. At the act of conception by my parents was sin, but the moment I was conceived, I received a sinful nature. Not a question. And then as time goes on, it begins to exhibit itself. And so discipline for rebellion, never childish actions. Proverbs 22:15 says that the physical discipline, the rod, will drive out that attitude, rebellions, defiance. Number six, always use a neutral object. When we lived at Eastern Avenue, I remember one Sunday morning walking out, and Elizabeth said, "You forgot your belt." And so I said to my daughter, Lisa, I said, "Go and get Dad's belt." She was, why? Because I used the belt on her once, and that was wrong. You never use a personal item. It's amazing that when people train dogs, they say, don't take and feed the dog with your hand, and then turn around when they're disobedient and give them a tap, that they get all confused. And so simply use a newspaper to bring the correction there on the dog. With the child, use a neutral object. It's a very simple thing. And I want to again emphasize that the Hebrew word and the Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew is simply like a switch, a very thing. Not that's going to physically bring injury, but that will bring attention to the point to place of education. Proverbs 13, those who spare the rod of correction hate their children. Look up the word in your text over and over again how it's used. Number seven, start young. As I mentioned to you, a parent that came not too long ago and said, "I don't know what to do with my teen." My heart just immediately said, "You're 15 years late. You're 15 years late. I'm not sure there's anything we can do for your teen." It was to be taken care of back when they were very, very young. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, "Discipline or correct your children, while there is hope." Proverbs 19:18. And so, when a child knows the difference between right and wrong, when your child knows the word no, then there's time to start bringing some area of correction. When there's direct disobedience, I remember not long ago when a grandchild came to our house and Josefina said, "Don't touch." And they reached out and grabbed it like this and looked up and said, Did they understand "don't touch"? Absolutely. It was, "Don't touch. Okay, let me just see what's going to happen if I do." When they know right from wrong, when they know what no means, you know, there needs to be correction. Again, not the second time, not the third time, not when the voice is raised, not when there's the threat of consequences. The first time when you say "don't touch," they understand. That is when they need to be corrected. Number eight, establish responsibility. And so, before there's any correction, you get down on their level, and you look eye to eye, and you bring your arms around them, and you simply say, "Why did you do that?" No. You know why they did it, because all of us have an old nature. You say, "Did you do..." No. Don't give them the opportunity to go through a door and not tell the truth. You saw an act of, I'll say, rebellion. They need to be responsible for their action. And so you simply say, "Now, honey, what did you do?" "I touched." "What did Grandpa or what did Daddy say?" "Daddy said, don't touch." Establish responsibility for their actions. Beloved, do you understand that principle? It's very important. Galatians, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I have a friend today that is literally dying of lung cancer. Why? Because for 45 years, he smoked packs and packs and packs. He was the Winston man. And he's paying for the results of his actions. Teach your children to be established the responsibility for their actions. Number 9, get alone. Avoid embarrassment. Not in front of other family members. Always take them alone to the bedroom. Always take them alone to the bathroom or quiet place. Never in public. I want to say again, I hate with all of the hatred I have for child abuse. And when I see something on television that has to do with child abuse and they get caught, I go, yes! You know, let's go get some more. I mean, but in this day, you should never, in the grocery store or Wendy's or Walmart or wherever you go, never, never, never in public. And even inside your house where there's the rest of the family around. Because that little child, I mean, their own image is being questioned if all the rest of the siblings are standing there and you're trying to correct them publicly. Bring them alone and go through this process of assuming responsibility for what they've done. Number 10, use control. It's very, very important. Never, never, never discipline when you're angry. Never correct when you're angry. Don't overcorrect. Someone has said there is a time, there is a place, and there is a length for biblical correction. And remember, again, it is never for punishment. It is always for correction. Remember, it is not to bring retribution for wrong, but to bring repentance for wrong. To bring repentance for wrong. And I want to say, beloved, never in anger. It is very important when it is an affront to you, or maybe you are personally embarrassed when the child defiantly does something. But remember, Proverbs 19 says, verse 18, let not the soul spare. I mean, don't lose your child simply because you don't want to correct them. And so, breaking that will so it's brought underneath the authority that God has given to their life at this time, parental authority. Number 11, be consistent in your discipline. So if you, beloved, say what you mean and mean what you say. Don't say don't touch unless you mean don't touch. Beloved, don't say don't do this unless you mean don't do it. Beloved, do you understand? Be consistent. Ephesians 6 says, provoke not your children to wrath. But every Bible teacher and scholar that deal with this text, that the number one reason the children are provoked more than others, the inconsistency. Beloved, say what you mean what you say. Say it once, not twice. Say it once, not wait until you have to raise your voice. Say it once, not until you have to say. If you do that again, you're going to be corrected. Ephesians 6:4, provoke not your children to wrath, but train them, nurture them, bring them up, nourishment of the Lord. The word train there is to mold their character, to instruct by exercise, to drill, to make obedient to orders, to point in the right direction. And so our delight and the desire is that our children will bring honor and glory to the Lord and bring their children up. Be consistent, whether we feel like it or not. Be consistent, whether we're busy or we're not. And very important. Number 12, comfort the child after correction. This is so very important. Listen, beloved, do not correct your child if you don't have time to comfort afterwards. And so you don't correct the child and say, now, you're not going to get any supper tonight, or you're not going to get any ice cream, or you're going to go to your bedroom. Beloved, the worst thing you can do is to correct your child, then send them to their bedroom. You correct your child, and then you grab them in your arm and say, I love you with all my heart. Let's go down to Wendy's for a Frosty. So you're just pouring your love. You corrected them because you love them. God corrects us because He loves us. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4 and 5 says that we are comforted with the love that the comfort from God the Father, so we can comfort others. 2 Corinthians 1, 4 and 5. And so it's the wrong time to send to the room afterwards, because that's like double punishment. We're to bring correction and reassurance of our love for them. Correction and comfort go together. You cannot separate them. And so afterwards, you hold them. Afterwards, you hug them. Afterwards, you do something special with them. Afterwards, you establish that assurance of acceptance, and that you're dealing with a problem here, not that you have anything against them personally. It's very important. Number 13, restitution. A majority of those in jail and prison today would not be there today if their parents would have taught them restitution. You do something wrong, you have to pay for it. Restitution in the context of, don't ask, don't just say I'm sorry, but number two, ask for forgiveness. They go to hurt their little sister's, do something to their little sister, they go to their sister and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. She responds and says, I forgive you, and she gives him a hug. And so, restitution. Maybe restitution will involve with not just asking forgiveness and being forgiven, but any wrong needs to be made right. They do something against mom, they go to mom, ask forgiveness, and mom says, look, you know, we can get this thing corrected if you'll just help me do this. And so it helps assume responsibility for actions. The last one that I'll just share with you from my heart as a dad and as a grandfather of 25 children, we've got one on the way, evaluation. When you're all done, you simply say, was I angry? If so, God forgive me. Go to your child and say, please forgive me. I was really upset. I was angry when I did this. When I corrected you. Number two, say to yourself, did I use the appropriate correction? Should I have just sent them to the room? Or did they need the rod of correction? Maybe you can say, did I act in love all the way through, even to the very, very end? Was there a false accusation? And she really, or he really didn't even need to be corrected. And so make sure that if there's areas where you failed, you immediately go and you ask forgiveness. Well, we'll be back to the study of Mark. But I see a growing number of young couples raising their children saying, I would never, 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 never even bring correction to the children. God's word is very, very clear that there is a place for different types of correction, and even what we call corporal correction. Proverbs 22:6. Well, if you spare the rod, you will ruin the child. Genesis 18:19. God said about Abraham, I know Abraham. The implication there is, and he knows me. And I just know that Abraham will lead his children, command his children, will lead his family after him. And they'll keep the way of the Lord.